Okay, so good morning. I'm Hannah. I work here at Sheffield Vineyard, and I'm also a master's student, and you'll hear a bit more about that in a minute. So we are continuing with our Ten Commandments series today. I am going to be speaking on the topic of you shall not murder, which at first glance sounds a bit serious, but hopefully it won't come across that way. So we're studying the Ten Commandments together, and they're one specific part of the law given to the people of Israel through Moses when they were freed from slavery under the Egyptians. The law is made up of moral laws and ceremonial laws. And the moral laws relate to justice and judgment, and their purpose is to help us recognize our sinfulness and the brokenness of mankind compared to the holy nature of God. I decided to recap this stuff because I think it's really important for us to grasp why the Ten Commandments are still relevant to us today. Because it's not because by following them we'll get to go to heaven. We're studying the commandments because we know it will bring us closer to God, and it's a relationship with Him alone which will save us. So the law was good and holy. But Romans 3 verse 20 says this. I think it should come up on the screen. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The only way we can be fully reunited with God forever is through faith in Jesus. We now live under Jesus' rule, and we can find his commandments in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. And they say this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. By saying this, Jesus shows that to love God and to love others are at the core of all of the Old Testament laws. Jesus brought the Old Testament law to completion and conclusion. That means we're freed from trying to remember and follow over 600 laws written there. And calling on us, Jesus calls on us to focus on love. All of the Ten Commandments can therefore be categorized as ways of helping us to love God or to love one another. So far, we've looked at these commandments that are on the screen. Now, you may notice that we haven't covered them all in order, and I have to hold my hands up here because it's my fault. At Easter, I was on a field trip for my master's in the Galapagos Islands, which are in Ecuador, and the talk that I'm going to give this morning was meant to happen a few days after I came back. But if I put it like this, the water in Ecuador is not particularly trustworthy, and I was not feeling my best. So to spare you all from having to experience that then, we moved my talk. So I just want you to know that there's no special reason why the order changed, and this commandment isn't more important or more special than any of the others. So this week, we're going to look at the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. I've been thinking about this topic for a while, and every time I've mentioned it to other people, they say something like, well, that's really easy, isn't it? Your talk is going to be about a minute long. I don't know why you're thinking about it so much. And in some ways, that's kind of true. I'm sure you'll be relieved to hear that I've never considered murder. Although I did used to share a room with my sister. And as I'm sure all of you who've been in a similar situation can relate to, when my mum made us tidy our room together, there were definitely moments where some very dark thoughts entered my very vivid imagination. But we both survived that dark period of our lives. You'll be glad to know. So this morning I want to tackle this commandment in three parts. First, I'm going to ask whether you shall not murder really is the easiest commandment, because if we look at how Jesus asked us to live, this commandment has consequences for how we deal with anger in general that makes it a bit more challenging. So number one, the easiest commandment. Second, I'm going to look at Jesus' life and how he dealt with anger, and hopefully we'll be able to draw out some ways of differentiating righteous anger from anger that leads to sin and how to deal with anger as an emotion. So the second question is, what is the difference between Jesus' anger and mine? And then finally, we're going to ask, how can I manage my anger? So we're going to discover what the Bible says about dealing with our anger in a really practical way. So, first section, the easiest commandment. Many of you are probably thinking, I can probably steer clear of murder without God's help, Hannah. Plenty of people do it without knowing Jesus, so why are we bothering looking at this in detail? Well, just as with all of the other commandments we've looked at so far, when Jesus came to earth, he set the bar even higher so that we would realize how much we needed him to save us. For example, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not commit adultery, but Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here we can see that Jesus says acting the right way isn't enough, because he cares about what's in our hearts and he cares about our motives. This is repeated many times in the Bible. For example, in Proverbs 16, verse 2, it says this, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Bible says this, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. These verses seem to me to be saying that if we're truly to be a holy people of God, obeying the Holy Spirit who lives within us, then we should not be asking how close to sin we can get without actually sinning, but how far away we can get because we want to honor and glorify God. If there was a line on the ground that represented murder, would we be the ones that we... One minute, let me say that again. If there was a line on the ground that represented murder, would we be the ones who could reach out and touch it? Or would we be so far away that we could never even be seen associating with that line? I like to think of sin a lot like a tightrope. And hopefully that'll make sense in a minute. So you're much more likely to fall off a tightrope if you're trying to walk along it than if you're stood safely on the ground below. That's really obvious, but it's so true about sin. If we're to follow Jesus' command that we read earlier to love our neighbor, then we can't even entertain the possibility of harming another human being. And that can be through harboring ill will towards them in our hearts and in our minds. It doesn't have to be physical harm. You can harm people in so many different ways with words and actions. And God is always searching our motives on this. So the sixth commandment, you shall not murder, is relevant to all of us because God looks at our hearts. He looks at our motives. And I'm going to turn a bit CSI and ask, what are the motives for murder? The first murder that we see in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel are brothers who bring an offering to God. And Abel brings a costly offering, the firstborn of his flock, because he loves God. And Cain brings an offering of fruit, which is not motivated by his love of God, but a selfish desire to need to be praised. He wants to be told well done by God for bringing him a gift. Now, Cain's motive for giving his offering to God is rooted in pride, and what we see is that when it comes to gift giving, again, God truly believes that it's the thought that counts. God prefers Abel's offering, and Cain gets jealous and angry, and these emotions overrun him until finally he does something destructive and he kills his brother. And here we see that jealousy and hurt pride turn into anger, which then cause Cain to murder his brother. If we look around us today, murder is often preceded by anger. I found some data from the Australian Institute of Criminology that shows that where the motive is known, murder was always caused by arguments, jealousy, ending of relationships, revenge, or to gain money or drugs. In other words, we can trace the reasons for murder to the other commandments. Murder is caused by breaking the 10th commandment, by coveting, which means wanting what other people want, what other people have. Breaking the 9th commandment by spreading lies. Breaking the 8th by stealing, or breaking the 7th by making a mess of relationships. Now, I'm not saying that if you lie, then murder will automatically follow. But I do believe that breaking these commandments can all lead to anger, which at best leads us to thinking badly of other people, and at worst leads us to harming them. Either way,